Here's Skip Heitzig with a description of someone we would want to avoid becoming.
So here's this servant thinking, reasoning, and notice his language. He says, my master is delaying his coming. Obviously, this evil servant has the Christian vocab down pat. He's learned Christianese quite well. He knows how to say, hallelujah, glory to God, praise Jesus, and all of the right buzzwords. But his actions speak louder than his words.
Make the connection.
Well, this is the final day we'll spend in our current series, Rumblings of War and the Prince of Peace. You know, we live in uncertain times, but Jesus warned us that's the way it would be. The good news is, eventually, he will return to bring order and peace to the chaos around us. But the question is, what will you be doing when that happens? Skip Heitzig examines what will take place when Jesus returns here on The Connection today. But before we get started, here's a letter we recently received from Reuben on the islands. And it says, Dear Skip, I just wanted to say that my wife and I enjoy all of your messages here in Hawaii. I pray that you continue to press on because you have no idea how important you are to all of us. And thank you for bringing all of your knowledge down to a level where we sheep can understand the Bible clearly. May God's right hand be upon you as you always serve him in finding lost souls. God bless you. Aloha, Reuben. Reuben, thank you for taking time out to write us and the kind words you shared about Pastor Skip. And we'd like to bless you back with a copy of Skip's new Daily God Book, just for taking time out to write us here on The Connection. And I'll tell you, receiving those letters always blesses us. So if you get the chance, share your own thoughts by writing us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Plus, if you write us for the first time, we'll send you a free teaching from Skip as a thank you. So write us today or call us at 1-800-922-1888. We'll be in Matthew 24 one last time today as Skip Heitzig brings our current study to a close. So open your Bibles and let's find out what will happen when we get caught in the act when Christ returns.
And make the
As we begin today, Skip Heitzig brings this fascinating study on what to expect in the end times to a close.
What if your hot water heater decided to give you cold instead of hot water when you walked in the shower just a couple days a week? Would that be a faithful heater? Oh, what if you decided to make your mortgage payments most of the time, but a couple times a year you just wanted to buy something else and your bank would call and say, we haven't received your payment. Oh, but there was a great television I bought this week. Would the bank say you're faithful? No. Finally, if you just come to church sporadically, but certainly not enough to get involved, are you faithful? Faithful is the first adjective. Wise is the second. Wise means that you're wise in a practical sense. You have enough insight that would prompt your obedience. You know that the wisest way for you to live is an absolute surrender to Christ? Do you know that? It's the smartest thing you could ever do. The smartest way you can live is to be surrendered in totality to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's the smartest way to live. That's faithful and that's wise. Now go down to verse 47 and we find the payoff or the compensation for this good and wise servant. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. okay, he's been faithful with this stuff. Because of that, I'm going to make him ruler over everything, all his goods. This is called a promotion. Now, this is how I interpret it. If you're faithful in serving the Lord here, and you're wise in serving the Lord here, come to the kingdom age, and you'll get promoted. God will give you a bigger sphere in serving him. It's important to think about. I don't know how you picture heaven, but if you're thinking you're going to sit on a cloud and play a harp, no way. An electric guitar, maybe, but a harp, no, no. Now, you're going to be very busy in serving the Lord in that kingdom age, and this seems to indicate a promotion. Faithful here, I'll make him ruler there. Now, go back down to that parable we started in Matthew 25, but pick it up in verse 20. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now listen, anytime you serve God in any capacity, anytime you volunteer for something, or you say, Lord, I'm going to do this just for your glory, you will always be rewarded. But you'll discover that most of your rewards are not here. You'll be rewarded, but not necessarily here. And that's important to understand, because if you're thinking, well, I'm not going to give that money unless I get my name on a plaque. Really? That's all you want? I want a heavenly reward. I don't want some dumb plaque. In fact, the Bible would seem to indicate that the more rewards you get and notice you get here on earth, the less you would get in heaven. I don't want to lose my reward. Jesus said, when you do a charitable deed, don't sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites, that they may have glory from men. For assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Samuel Morrison was a missionary for 25 years in Africa. He gave his life and his strength, his best years, to serve the Lord in the African continent. It was time for Samuel Morrison to retire, and he did. He got on a ship and was coming back to New York Harbor. And aboard that same boat was President Theodore Roosevelt. He also had been in Africa for 3 weeks, shooting animals. When they arrived home in New York, there were throngs of people welcoming the president home. The press was there for the president. The band played for the president. The balloons went up for the president. And Samuel Morrison walked off that boat alone. Nobody was there to meet him. Nobody noticed he had come back home. He hung his head and he prayed sort of angrily, Lord, I've given 25 best years of my life to serve you, and nobody notices. The president comes home and he gets all the hoopla. He said, I never heard the Lord speak more clearly to my heart than that moment. He said, my child, you're not home yet. You'll get rewarded. Oh, yes. When you get home. And that home will be later on. And those rewards will be much later on. Well, let's turn from the wise servant to the wicked servant. The segue is in verse 48. But if that evil servant, I've been struck by the language here, the way it's written out. But if that evil servant, I remember when I was a boy, I was Skip or my son, but when I did something wrong, I'd hear my mom say to my dad, that son of yours, when did I become that son? Well, the moment I disobeyed. Now I'm that son of yours. I just find it an interesting construction. For if that evil servant, and who is the evil servant? I'm going to give you 4 guesses and the first 3 don't count. There's 4 different interpretations. Interpretation number 1, Jesus is referring to an unbeliever. Just your run-of-the-mill person who has a responsibility for his or her life, but has no concern of spiritual things, no care about the coming of Jesus Christ, just lives in complete indulgence. That's the wicked servant. As some say, I don't really jive with that interpretation. Possibility number two, this is referring to a saved but slothful Christian. A lazy servant. And the interpretation is that when you get to the other side and stand before Christ, you will lose your reward. Even though the language is very severe, you get cut in two and tossed out with the hypocrites, they try to minimize that and say, well, really what that means is, it's colorful language to say, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to have a glorified body, so that can't happen to you. So you'll just lose the opportunity of service in the kingdom age. The third interpretation is this refers to the backslider who was once saved but indulged in sin and lost his or her salvation. I don't buy that one either. So I said you got four guesses and the first three don't count. The fourth interpretation, this is where I land, is it's speaking of a professing Christian. Or let me say that better. A person who says they're a Christian, but they're not. Now that makes most sense because of the severity of the judgment that Jesus speaks about will be that person's. In other words, it's a servant in name only. What we would call a nominal Christian, a churchgoer. They've come to church, but they haven't come to Christ. They haven't come to Christ. And such a person reveals that he's not ready for the kingdom. He didn't care about the kingdom, and he won't enter the kingdom. I got a letter this week from a wonderful family in our fellowship who admitted, you know, we grew up in the church, but we went to church mechanically. And then they said, there was no live wire between us and God. No real personal connection. I think that's who it's speaking to. A person who professes to be a servant, professes to serve the Lord, but they don't. How do we know? Well, look at how he thinks. Look at his reasoning. If that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. You know where sin begins? Always inwardly. It always starts inside our reasoning, our thinking, before it ever gets outward. Jesus put it this way. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know what that tells me? That tells me that we are accountable for the way we think, how we process our thoughts. You know, so often it says in the New Testament, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, he responded to what they were thinking, not saying or doing. So, that's why the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed the very issues of life. This servant was reasoning in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. You've heard the old saying, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a lifestyle. Sow a lifestyle and reap a destiny. So here's this servant thinking, reasoning, and notice his language. He says, my master is delaying his coming. Obviously, this evil servant has the Christian vocab down pat. He's learned Christianese quite well. He knows how to say, hallelujah, glory to God, praise Jesus, and all of the right buzzwords. But his actions speak louder than his words, because he's caught in the act of what his true heart really is. Now, I hear that on the French Riviera, I've never been there, but I hear that dotting the landscape of the French Riviera are apartments. And in that part of the world, a status symbol on an apartment is a balcony. And it's considered such a status symbol to have a nice balcony overlooking, especially the ocean, that some people will paint balconies on their apartments. They're fake. It's not a balcony. It's a thin coating of paint, and some get very realistic. They'll even paint laundry, wet laundry, hanging, drying in the sun. And I think that's a good definition of a hypocrite. A thin veneer over a life to give it a touch of reality. That is this evil servant. Now notice what happens once he thinks this way, after his reasoning. Look at verse 49. And he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with the drunkards. In other words, his false profession will eventually be noticed by his carnality, by his brutality. It'll eventually come out. That person might come to a place and think, I've wasted my time enough in church. I've gone to church all my life. I've heard Jesus is coming and he hasn't come. I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here. And I'm going to indulge in what my heart really wants to do anyway. That's what John meant when he said in 1 John chapter 2, 19, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Doesn't mean they left the church and went to another church. They left God. They left the church. They left any outward semblance of their profession and followed the indulgence of who they really were. Now, allow me to press this just a little bit. I'm gonna broaden this application out. Yeah, I know the context. I just gave it to you about a professed unbeliever who says he's a Christian, but he's not. But I think any of us can fall into the evil servant syndrome. And you know how you can tell? When you start looking at others of God's servants and hammering them and mistreating them and putting them down, I've discovered something. When Christians fight each other, one of them or both of them has forgotten Jesus is coming back. If you and I live with that thought of the imminent return of Jesus Christ, he could come at any moment, that ought to change the way we treat everybody. Wife, husband, child, friend, neighbor, coworker. My master delays his coming. And so in verse 50, let's see what happens. What's the reckoning? What's the final result? The master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, at an hour that he is not aware of, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, you've heard that phrase, right? It's a Matthew phrase. He likes it a lot. Weeping and gnashing of teeth is grinding your teeth in pain, in agony, in misery. Well, that's the fate of all unbelievers and hypocrites. Now, I made a distinction between them. An unbeliever is honest. I don't like God. I don't care about God. I don't believe in God. A hypocrite is a dishonest unbeliever. Never been changed in the heart. It's evident by looking at the lifestyle. It's simply a profession without a possession, an attraction without an attachment. And so, it's simple. Jesus is saying, since he thinks like an unbeliever and acts like an unbeliever, I'm going to treat him as the unbeliever that he is. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. He doesn't say, and there will be partying and smiling of teeth. No, this sounds like a very unpleasant situation. And I'll tell you why I said that. Because I've met enough people who have had this smart kind of a remark, well, I'm going to go to hell because all my friends are going to be there. And they'll be weeping and gnashing their teeth too. A few years ago, Ted Turner, the media mogul, who said Christianity is a religion for losers, went on record by saying, and I quote, I'm looking forward to dying and going to hell because heaven is perfect. How boring. He spoke of hell saying, we'll have a chance to make things better because hell's supposed to be a mess. Now, let me say for the record, that's like the lamest thing I've ever heard. Because hell has no tenant improvement plan. It's not like, well, this is a bad place. You guys fix it. I couldn't do anything with it. No, the hell is a place created by God specifically for the punishment of the devil and his angels. That's what it was made for, not for humans. But if humans choose to go there by rejecting the only solution for their sins, God will respect their freedom of choice. And there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So to compare the two, it's pretty easy this way. Let's see, would you rather have blessed, ruler, faithful, wise, or weeping and gnashing of teeth? Well, I'll take the first guy. And Jesus said, these two servants will be caught in the act, some act. You ever think that way? You ever think, okay, I think I'm going to get involved in this right now. But what would happen? How would I feel if Jesus walked in on me while I'm doing it? It's a good way to think, because actually, he's already there. He sees it all. But that is one of the most purifying ways to live. Did you know that? John said, when he appears, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is, 1 John chapter 2. And whoever has this hope in himself purifies himself, even as he is pure. John goes on to say, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I have a dog named Winston. And Winston is an Airedale. He's an Airedale Terrier. He's a brilliant animal, brilliant dog. And I mean that. He's the smartest dog I ever owned. And he also has an iron will. And he loves to dig up the backyard. I mean, dig it up. Dig up plants, dig up pipes. He's a dog. Well, we have a conflict because I don't want him to dig the backyard, but he wants to dig the backyard. So we go through this ritual. I have walked in the backyard and caught him in the act before. And you know what he does? He looks at me like this. Out of the corner of his eye. Doesn't look at me straight, but and he hangs his head really low. Because he knows he's caught. There have been other times when he's not doing bad and I come in the backyard and you know what he does? He's confident at my coming, not ashamed. So Jesus is coming back and will catch you in some act. Do you want to be like hanging your head and looking like this? Or do you want to be... confident, not ashamed. So that's how he closes this chapter, and that's how we ought to live.
The return of Jesus Christ doesn't have to be a moment you dread. If anything, it should be a day you look forward to with great anticipation. If you aren't ready, you may want to take care of a few things before he gets here. And if you'd like to learn more about how you can be prepared for the return of Christ, give us a call at 1-800-922-1888 or click on the Know God link at connectionradio.org. Well, we have a few things that we need to take care of before we end today's program, and one of those is to tell you about Skip's new devotional book called The Daily God Book. Here are all the details.
So, you've been a Christian for a while. You've settled into a spiritual routine, and that's good. But don't let it become a grind. Keep it fresh and keep it real. There's a new resource from Skip Heitzig in The Connection that's designed for your busy lifestyle. It's a devo called The Daily God Book. Here's the deal. The Daily God Book will guide you through the entire Bible in just a year in a new and challenging way. You'll explore unique insights, points to ponder, and most importantly, you'll have a convenient system laid out for you to make reading through the Bible an easy part of everyday life. Get your copy of The Daily God Book for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. 1 year from now, you can look back and you'll have gone through the Bible with The Daily God Book by Skip Heitzig. Order now and grow daily. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, Caught in the Act, just call 1-800-922-1888. We'd be happy to send you a copy on CD for just $6. That includes shipping. Or you can also ask about getting this entire series entitled Rumblings of War and the Prince of Peace. And for your convenience, you can also order online at connectionradio.org. And finally today, I just wanted to mention that we always appreciate hearing from our regular listeners. So if you have some time and would like to share what this ministry has meant to you, please write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And if you do so for the first time, we'll send you a free teaching from Skip called Jesus, Friend of Children. So write us today or call 1-800-922-1888. We look forward to hearing from you. And thank you for your support of The Connection.
And make the connection.
Well, on our next program, Skip Heitzig will begin a brand new series that examines the importance and relevance of the church in a modern world. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.